the angels come down from that cross. Thank you, Alicia. My. Both the specials this morning took us right back to the cross. Amen. I want you to go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to kind of jump in a little bit in the middle of the chapter here. Galatians chapter 4. Going to look at verses 13 through 16. And to give the tape a title, we'll call it When Truth Hurts. When Truth Hurts. Lady and her husband walked out of a restaurant, and there's one of those old-fashioned scales there, and one of those old-fashioned scales that gave you a little ticket out with a message on it when you stepped on it. He saw his wife step on it and take the ticket and look at it and saw she was frowning. And he said, "Hon, what's the matter? A little overweight?" She said, "No, but according to this note, I'm supposed to be 6 inches taller." Sometimes truth hurts a little bit. We see that right here in chapter 4 of Galatians in verse 13. Of course, this is Paul speaking. He says, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." And here's my text this morning. "Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth." Now, Stephen referred to it in Sunday school this morning. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Most of us kind of believe it was his eyes, that he never got over the bright light when the Lord struck him down in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. Don't know that for sure. But something was in the flesh that God told him his grace would be sufficient. Just live with it. And Paul did. And as Stephen said in Sunday school, he didn't complain. He went on. Now, Paul is writing, we often say, to the church at Galatia, but if you actually read the introduction to the book of Galatians, it says the churches. So Galatia was not exactly a city. It was more like an area, a region, or a county that we might think of today. And there was more than one church in that area. So Paul was probably not only writing to one, but to others. And you can read a little bit about the area he was in, Acts chapter 13 and 14. But he had a problem here at Galatia. The problem was they were trying to slip back from the liberty of the grace of God to being under the bondage again of trying to add the law to grace and mix it up. And it was a problem Paul was writing to them about. If you look in chapter 5 and verse 7, is a powerful short statement. Paul says to him, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" I'll tell you what, that's a good question for a lot of us today. Did you once run well for the Lord? Who tripped you up? Where did you turn from the truth? Where'd you get mixed up? Where'd you slip back from? And that's what Paul was saying here to these Galatians. In our text here, though, we see their attitude had changed. When he was with them at the first, he was there in the weakness of the flesh, whatever the problem was, his eyes or whatever it was, and they loved him anyhow. They treated him great. And he said, "You cared so much for me that you'd have been willing to give me your own eyes." And he said, "Why the change? Why the change? What happened? What happened to your attitude toward me?" And then when he gets down in verse 16, he kind of analyzes it. And he says, am I therefore become your enemy? Not because I told you lies. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, what was Paul doing? He was warning them about this heresy that was coming in. This false doctrine that had slipped back in. The Judaizers bringing back in the works of the law and the ceremonies and the feast days and all that, that they were saying to you, "Yeah, take Jesus, but add all this to it." Now, that was what the problem was here at Galatians. And Paul was pointing this out, and now he was saying, because I tell you the truth, does that make me your enemy? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, sadly, folks, what is stated in this short statement is true to human nature. Oh, how true it is to our nature today. There's a story in the Old Testament. I can't get into it much, but you can read it in 1 Kings 22. When the king of Israel and the king of Judah came together, the king of Judah was a pretty good guy. His name was Jehoshaphat. The king of Ahab was a vile king and a bad king, King Ahab. And Ahab was trying to seduce Jehoshaphat to join him in war. And Ahab was saying, we'll be victorious. And he called in his prophets of Baal to say what Ahab wanted to hear. But Jehoshaphat said, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here somewhere? I mean, a real prophet, a real man of God? Can't you call him in? And he said, well, there is one, but he don't speak well of me. He don't say what I want to hear. So they called Micaiah in, and shorten the story. Micaiah told him the truth, and King Ahab sent him to jail with the bread of affliction. He didn't want to hear the truth. The truth hurt. Now, who was right, the prophets of Baal or the prophet of the Lord? You know how it turned out. Ahab lost the battle and he lost his life. Why? Well, he didn't want to hear the truth. The truth was given to him from Micaiah, but he didn't want to hear it. We look around today and we see this is still human nature. Little old cliche, it's become a cliche, but it's the truth. If I don't like the message, I kill the messenger. Right? You know, I've said this before, and it's my own illustration. I've thought about it time or two. Driving down the road, especially in old cars, and the gas gauge gets on empty. Now, all the old cars I ever had, I knew just how far I could go on empty. Right? Scare my wife to death. Driving in the dark way down the road, and the thing's been on empty for 20 miles, and I'm praying, God, please let me be right this time. But with all that said, wouldn't it be kind of dumb to reach over and get my little hammer? I don't like the message of that gas gauge. That gas gauge says I can't keep going. That gas gauge says I'm going to run out of gas. I don't like that, so I'll fix it. I'll break the gauge. So you couldn't be that dumb. There's a lot of folks running around that's trying to kill the messenger. They don't like the truth. They don't want the truth. You tell them the truth, and you likely become their enemy for telling them the truth. That's what Paul's problem right here is. The church at Galatia, where he'd helped them, he taught them the grace of God, he had his heart invested in them, and yet telling them that was best for them was making him their enemy. Oh, we see that today. We see it in our families today. You parents, you've seen it in your kids. How many, oh, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have had kids that wanted their own way, and we knew their own way was not the right way for them? They wanted things we knew we better not give them because it would be to their destruction and to their pain and to their hurt. And we've heard the outburst of kids. Oh man, I want my way. I want this. I want that. And you tell them the truth, but mama, I hate you. I just can't believe that my friends have got it and I can't have it. You been there? Sure you've been there. Aren't you glad now that you grew up that mom and dad didn't listen to you many times when you wanted that would hurt you? Sure, we all are. But what I see in kids, I see in adults. We have a little thing today that's called, well, he's in denial, right? Oh, yeah. Medical doctors know about that. Psychiatrists know about that. Oh, you try to tell him the truth, but he's in denial. I'm not an alcoholic. I just enjoy a drink. Yeah. Right? In denial. I'm not hooked on pills, but truth is you are, maybe. And you can't stand the truth. And if anybody dares tell you the truth, they become your enemy. I'm not expecting any amens. I'm not asking for any. I'm just know what I know, and you know what you know, and that's true from the Word of God. It's true from experience. I was with a preacher recently talking about alcohol. He said, my dad was a drunk. Now, politically correct, you call them alcoholics. But in the old days, they were called drunks. He said, my dad was a drunk. He said, I don't remember much about my childhood. It was not too good. He said, Dad died when I was 6 years old. He basically drank himself to death. He said, I guess he worked pretty hard, but Mother always, when she'd hear his car coming home, she ran out the door first to see what condition he was in. Because if he was drunk, she grabbed us kids and went out the back door. And sometimes it'd be 2 or 3 days we'd have to hide in the woods or crawl back up on the house to try to stay warm because we could not take a chance of being in Dad's presence. Awful thing that is. And by the way, it's still the worst drug there is. Really it is. But you know what? He was in denial. Finally died. The preacher now said, when I was 6 years old, I remember they used to bring the casket in the old farmhouse. He said, I remember walking into that room and seeing my dad in that box and taking one finger and touching him. And he said, I remember Mother trying to come in the room and fainting. Awful thing, awful thing. You see, when we deny the truth, it often hurts us. And it hurts those around us. And sad truth is, it doesn't only happen with kids, but it happens with adults. And yet the truth is, if we don't face the truth, there's no cure. A doctor will tell you, you gotta face it. You gotta admit it. Psychiatrists will tell you that, and without facing the truth, there'll be no cure. You remember the story in the Bible where the prophet Nathan came before David after his sin? He told him a little story about a rich man stealing a poor man's lamb. And David got indignant and said, well, I'll make him pay fourfold. You remember what the prophet said? He put his finger in David's face and he said, thou art the man. David was in denial about his adultery, in denial about his sin, but the prophet said, face the truth. Thou art the man. You're the one the little story I told you depicts. And David could have made Nathan the enemy for telling him the truth. In that particular case, the king said, I've sinned. He repented. And God spared him because of it. But to face the truth, don't be mad at the one that tells you the truth. Preachers are in a precarious situation. Every time we stand before a group of people, we take the chance of somebody getting mad. Why? Because the preacher told them the truth. Now, it better be the truth from the Word of God, not just my opinion, but the Word of God. And I want to say, folks, when you disagree with the truth coming in a sermon, if the sermon's coming from the Word of God, your problem's with my boss, not with me. Paul said, am I become your enemy because I'm trying to help you? Have I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? I fear so, Paul. I still see that happen today. I see it in our families. I see it in our country today. Oh, boy, do I see it in our country. Our country is so divided over right and wrong until it's so mixed up today and so confusing today. And our young people, I feel for them. I don't know. If they go to church, and I hope they do, they get the truth. But, boy, by the time they get back next week, that truth has been attacked and twisted and spun so many ways. Enemies are made, though, over speaking the truth too many times. And that's true in our country. I'll make some right now before I'm through this morning. I sort of planned on it. Because I've been here before. For instance, I want to tell you what they're trying to do in the country. Taking your guns up is not right. If they were able to pass every gun law that the president and Uncle Joe got mad about this week when it failed in the Senate. And by the way, they did. They came on the news all poochy-mouthed. Blasted everybody. Because at least 6 Democrats had sense enough to vote against it. Amen. Does the truth make you my enemy? The truth of the matter is, if they'd passed all those gun laws, it would not have prevented one of the incidents, not one, or one in the future like it. And by the way, somebody said, I guess now we'll get background checks before you buy a pressure cooker. Amen. Help yourself. Help yourself. You see, what our country's doing right now is we're refusing the big truth behind the bombings. There is a big truth behind them. That truth is that Islam's mission is to bomb us. Islam's mission is to kill us. Islam's mission is to cut off heads and hands or get you to convert to their way of worshiping their moon god called Allah. Help yourself. Truth of the matter is, that's what's behind it. Denial of the mission of Islam. This blows my mind. I checked it out. It's true. The Bronze Star was awarded by our administration just in recent months to an Air Force chaplain, lieutenant, I could use his name, maybe I better not, because he developed a politically correct presentation that all military personnel are required to see, showing them how to be sensitive to Muslims and their religious material. If the Muslims, the military was taught now, if the Muslims just take a piece of paper and write a few words out of their so-called holy book, the Quran, then their military is to treat that piece of paper with great respect and protection. Now here's the point. That interdenominational, unsaved chaplain, you say you're making a judgment. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. An unsaved chaplain did a PowerPoint display for the military to study, and he got awarded a Bronze Star for it. What about all the military men? That's a high honor for a man that's been wounded in action, for a man that's done heroic deeds on the fire. And all of a sudden, we're giving a man a Bronze Star on the level with our soldiers that shed their blood. We're giving him a Bronze Star because he wrote a program to help us respect and protect a false, ungodly religion that is shedding American blood everywhere you look, and Christians in particular in foreign nations. My. I'm saying something to you. Our country's in denial. I'm saying something to you, and that is that people that'll tell the truth are becoming the enemy, in many cases, of the very government of America, in too many cases. Buckle your seatbelt. It may get worse. We're allowing Saudi Arabia to come into our biggest universities and, with a little bit of their money, set up courses and studies in our universities to teach this same Islam that's building the pressure cooker bombs. Man, can't somebody tell them the truth? Can't somebody get them to listen that this thing is not of God and is not going to be blessed of God? The same thing goes for the gay agenda. Up there right in Massachusetts, where Boston is located, they have now made rules and passed a bill that the public schools have got to also recognize and honor kids that have declared themselves of a different gender. Now, let me get you to understand this. If a boy goes to school and he says to his teacher, I may look like a boy to you. Mama dressed me with a pants on this morning. I don't mean nothing anymore, but anyway. But in my heart, I feel I'm a girl. So I want to go to the girls' restroom. Now, you think this is too far out. Check me out. Check me out on it. I'm giving you the truth here. I want to go to the girls' restroom because I'm a different gender. Bunch of, well, just some queer sounding stuff to me. Anyway. Even if the teacher calls mama at home and she says, no, he's a boy. But if the boy tells the teacher, I feel like I'm a girl, then he's got a right to the girl's restroom. Yeah. Check me out. If that it sounds so wild, I could not believe it, but that's it. Right. That's it. and to get up and tell the truth on it. Well, we can't discriminate. What are you talking about? Jesus said you know a tree by the fruit that it bore. Amen? Yes, you're supposed to do some discrimination. Truth, you know what's going on in Syria? You say, well, those freedom fighters, I sure do hope they'll displace that dictator. You do? The dictator over there was protecting the Christians. The Christians are getting out of Damascus, getting out of Syria, because it's the Muslim Brotherhood. We as Americans are supporting to overthrow. Now, a bad dictator, okay, but we're fixing to do what we did in Egypt, and that is install the fox in the hen house. We are fixing to get to this place that we are going to put the Muslim Brotherhood in. You ought to see, and you can see, you ought to see the girls, the way they're dressed by those so-called freedom fighters under Sharia law. You can't even hardly see their eyeballs. It's a black tent walking down the road. That's what, and that was not the case in Syria. It's not the case under Mubarak in Egypt, but it is now under the Muslim Brotherhood with American support. Now see, when I tell you that truth, how many enemies did I just make? How many of you will check out what I said or just say, well, he's just a right winger? No, I'm a preacher that believes in what's right and what's wrong. And if I tell you the truth and it makes you my enemy, I can't help it. Paul was in the same spot. It was over false doctrine. And you say, well, you're talking politics. I'm talking false doctrine. Yeah. Amen. A false religion is what I'm talking to you about. An evil, just like Paul was seeing that mixing of the law in with grace as being wrong. See it today. You see it in our text. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now listen. God is still alive. His book is still true. He still judges sin like he always did. And he still knows what's going on. Psalms 9:17 is still in the book. The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now, America, you just keep forgetting God. You keep raising the abomination of the homosexual crowd. You keep on honoring false religion. And there's a God in heaven that's finally going to say, well, that's enough. That's enough. I think he's been saying that for a while. Would any dare call some of the phenomena and some of the troubles might be from God? Well, I'm saying to you that we're seeing this same problem Paul was having at Galatia in our country today. The Bible predicted it. Isaiah wrote a long time ago about those that would do right would make themselves a prey. Bring attention to yourself. You'd become the enemy. Do you know who the leadership thinks is the enemy in America? We Bible believers. You and I, we're the ones. We're the ones. I'm not going to get off into the details of the bombing thing, except you watch it. I'll almost make a prediction. The bleeding hearts will come out of the woodwork before this young man gets what he deserves. I just about make that prediction. What they don't understand is all those boys were doing was what they were brainwashed into doing. They were being good, not bad, good Muslims. Their so-called holy book tells them to kill the infidels, tells them to kill the Jews, tells them to kill the Christians, calls the Jews pigs and apes. That's their holy book. This holy book right here says thou shalt not kill. Theirs tell you to kill. Big, big, big difference. Amen. Now I'm going to move on a little bit. When the truth hurts, how do you react to it? I look in my text here again. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I see this text fulfilled in religion. I'm talking about even in so-called Christianity. Yeah. Oh, I know what some of you are saying right now. Oh, I can hear it. You won't say it out loud, but I can hear you. You're saying, don't speak evil of another man's religion. Amen. Paul didn't go in to the Galatians say, now, you know, I'd rather you wouldn't do it this way. We'll accept it, but it's not quite right. No, he did not. He did not condone false doctrine. He went in there and said, this is right. I will tell you the truth, even if it makes you my enemy, even if you stab me in the back, even if you turn on me, I will tell you the truth. But how we need that today. The same attitude that he had toward it. He wouldn't tolerate it, not ignore it. Many preachers are facing this decision today. Many of them don't have as easy a time with it as I do. All of us, there's human nature. We rather folks that like us than dislike us. But there's just one that we got to face. With just one we want to hear say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Just one we got to really answer to. And preachers are facing this, and every now and then you see a pretty good preacher interviewed on TV and he's having to tiptoe through the tulips because he's got to speak politically correct. That's where we're at. Too bad. Many preachers facing it. I want to ask you this morning, can you face the truth about your religion? Now listen to me. Christianity is a religion, but religion is not Christianity. There's all kind of false religions. It's a religious thing for the native woman to throw her baby to a crocodile to appease their demon god. That's a religion. There's a difference in religion and Christianity. Big difference. Can you face the truth about your religion? You and I believe and know we have God's word, and that's the truth. You and I know that Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, not many truths, but the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, you're going to side with Jesus, or you're going to side with all the false religions? I believe Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. As God, I believe he knows everything, knew everything. I believe he never spoke a lie. So when I read in the book that he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, he's telling the truth. Amen. He didn't leave any room for false doctrine and false gods in there. So I'm siding with him. He's my Savior. I have his word of instruction. Gives me his will, his plan. Tells me how it's all going to turn out. I'm going to side with him now. I can face the truth about my religion. It's the Bible way. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can you face that truth this morning? All right, let me check you just a moment. What are you trusting to get your sins forgiven? Now, don't even dare say you don't have any. What are you trusting to get your sins forgiven? You say, well, I belong to Thus and So Church. Can that church forgive your sins? Well, I went to pastor or father so-and-so, and he's going to take care of it. Do you really believe that in here? Do you think that that father or that pastor you went to is a perfect, sinless one that died for you on the cross and paid for you? No, you don't think that. He's a man, or anymore, a woman. But he has no power to forgive sins. Not at all. Will your religion stand the test? Or are you going to get mad at me when I tell you the communion cup won't forgive your sins? Or the baptismal waters can't forgive your sins, can't wash them away? Am I going to become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Oh, it was such a pretty ceremony. And they went around raving the smoke over everything. Pretty ceremony, dressed wonderful, wonderful colors. Did that forgive your sin? Did going into the confessional forgive your sin? What plan does your religion have to take care of your sins? Are you my enemy yet? Oh, listen. Listen to me, folks. If it won't stand the test of some logical questions down here, it's not going to stand the test of getting you into glory. Are you trusting Jesus Christ, Him alone, and the payment He made when He went to Calvary? Are you trusting Him that tells you that He rose again for your justification? Are you trusting Him that loved you and died for your sins and paid a price you couldn't pay, a church couldn't pay, a religious ceremony couldn't pay? No, He paid it all. All to Him you owe. Are you trusting Him? Just Him. Not His mother. Just Him. Just Him. Are you trusting Him to forgive your sins? Will your religion stand the test? I hope it will. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see when real truth is accepted. Paul was worried in telling this church at Galatia, you're going back into bondage. You have liberty in Jesus Christ. You have victory in Him. Don't go back into bondage of the law. That's what he was telling them. It's a wonderful thing today to see those that have been laboring under the law, trying to do good, trying to earn their way, trying to join this or that, go through this ceremony. It's a wonderful thing when they discover the victory and the liberty in Jesus Christ and get out from under the bondage of religion. All that's tied to it. It's a wonderful thing to see that. Wonder, have you done that? Have you crossed out from under the religious ceremonies you was raised with? Or the church you've been trusting to take care of your place in heaven? Have you gotten free of that to see that there's only one way and Jesus said He was that way? Can you stand the truth about? Can you stand the truth about your religion? Oh, the victory. Oh, the wonderful thing to see somebody step into the liberty and the light of knowing Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Many of you recognize the name, and I may have even mentioned it recently. We have a missionary, he's dead now. His name was Cecil Niece. Any of you remember Cecil? Some of you do. Cecil gave his life to go into the jungles, to the tribes that had never seen an outsider. Cecil would come home from the field. I remember one time I was walking in the hallway of the little old hospital we had in town, and I glanced in a room, and there was Cecil in the bed. I didn't know he'd come home from the field. I went in, I said, Cecil, what? What are you doing here? He said, preacher, the parasites that I have to live with that got so strong in my blood. He said, I have to come over here and get it cleansed. He was in his late 80s. I said, Cecil, can't somebody take your place? I mean, he slept out there in the jungle with them. I mean, he had hardly any comforts from home. He slept out there with them, and he said, no, I got to go back. And he did. But here's what he told me. He said, oh, the blessing of seeing those heathen tribes when the light of Jesus Christ comes in their soul. He said before, they thought to be saved, to have eternal life, they had to take the bones of their dead relatives. They had to crush them up and mix them with water and make, as it were, a milkshake out of them and drink them themselves. And to drink that crushed bone would ensure the relatives to have eternal life in their heaven. He said, when we got the gospel to them and they would receive it, they said, Cecil, you mean we no longer have to crush the bones? We no longer have to drink the bones? He said, no. They said, we never liked that, but we thought we had to do it. I thought about how many Americans don't like it, but they're doing it. They're not crushing bones, but they're going through similar ceremonies. They're doing same similar foolish things. They've been taught. Religion teaches that junk. The Bible teaches you to come to Jesus. He paid it all. He died for your sins. Come and trust His payment. Receive Him. Receive the gift of eternal life. All the ceremonies in the world couldn't buy it, couldn't pay for it, couldn't guarantee you heaven. But Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. And don't let the truth hurt you. Let the truth set you free. Hey. That's what Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what you have in Christ. I pray this morning, from whatever it is, ceremony, church, background, dogma, false religion, whatever it is, you just leave it and say, I'm coming to Jesus Christ and trusting what he did for me on Calvary, and he's my Savior, and I'll believe that he paid it, and I'm taking him. That's what you can do this morning. You can leave the pew, come down the aisle, and you're saying, preacher,